Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome to hour number two. And joining me live here on the phone line, I know he's probably running around. He's my great friend, Alan Slaughterzinski with Brevard Sports Network. We got a big announcement to make. Let's get him on. Alan, how you doing today, buddy?
What's going on, man? A rainy day. Our 7-on-7 got canceled this morning.
Oh.
Weather didn't cooperate. But I'll tell you, it is nice to have an afternoon off, so to speak, and get caught up and to be able to get some of the things that I haven't been able to get done. Like, I was just reading a story about Aaron Rodgers with what he's doing with his free time. And life is good on a rainy Tuesday.
We will get to your 7-on-7. I have questions about that, even though, like you said, it got canceled. But let's start with high school baseball. You put it on Twitter. You got a big announcement you wanted to do live on my show. I appreciate that. Alan, the floor is yours, buddy.
Yes, indeed, Mark. Well, thank you very much. Every once in a while, we like to break these on the Mark Moses Show, everything that you've done for us and for me personally. I know there's a lot of people listening. I know of at least 15 people listening, five of them being the voters. But let me just say this. This was probably the toughest decision to make. And let me lay the parameters out, if I could, for just a second, on how we came up with our baseball player of the year. It's very similar to any other sport. We named our softball player of the year yesterday, and it was a freshman, Mark. It was the freshman pitcher from Melbourne High School and Jazzy Francik. Now, Jazzy just didn't win the award because she had done things in the circle that we haven't seen in Brevard County in years. Jazzy also won the award because, aside from the fact she struck out 277 batters and went 23-2 and had a .49 ERA, she also batted .342 and drove in 22 runs this year. So we look for a ball player that helps his team in every facet. In other words, this could be the most valuable player award. Regardless of record, we do take into consideration how a team does. Maybe the Vera Hawks don't have two players in the top six if they don't reach the final four, but they do. So, we started with a list of 10, and on that list of 10 were some very good players, Mark, that didn't make the final six players to vote on. Guys like Aaron Saltzman out of Rockledge, Brian Walters out of Bayside, Nick Wimberly out of Merrill Island, all players that we thought were one of the 10 best players in the county. But when we got through the first round of voting, they didn't make the top six. So here's who we have in our final six. We got Bubba Hagen out of Ogalle, William Bubba Hagen, Liam Samuels out of Vieira, Brent Ostrander out of Melbourne, Carl Hartman out of Rockledge, Eddie and Espinal out of Vieira as well, and Garrett Lussier out of Heritage. And when we looked at all the numbers, take a guy like Carl Hartman. Carl this year was 8-1 with a 0.29 ERA. He only gave up 15 hits all year, Mark. Two earned runs, struck out 97, walked 14. But if we gave out a Pitcher of the Year award, that would obviously go to Carl Hartman, who's likely going to be drafted in the second round of the MLB draft. And if he's not, go play baseball for for Kevin O'Sullivan at the University of Florida. But when we looked at the numbers, and we looked at all the numbers, and that is if the player pitched, what he did in the field, what he did at the plate, we really came up with just one player, and that player was William Bubba Hagen from the Ogalle Commodores. So congratulations, Big Red. Bubba Hagen's our Brevard Sports Network Baseball Player of the Year. Let me just tell you his stats. He batted .400 this year. He had 32 hits, 35 RBIs. The guy hit 7 doubles. If you've ever seen him, he's not a 4-3-40 kind of guy. So he's jacking them to the gap. He hit 3 home runs. He only struck out 14 times this year, Mark, in 105 plate appearances. Aside from that, on the mound for Coach Bobby Collins and the Commodores this year, he was 6-0 with a 1.69 ERA. He had a save, pitched 49 2/3 innings. Again, an ERA of 1.69, struck out 53. And I tell you what, Bubba Hagen with an outstanding year. His, I don't know if people know what a good on-base percentage or a good slugging percentage is, Mark. In baseball, good slugging percentage is usually anything from 350 to 400. And in baseball, a good on-base percentage, a good slugging percentage is anything from 450 to 500. Well, Bubba absolutely tore it up, man. Bubba had an on-base percentage of 533 and a slugging percentage of 600 for a 1.133 OPS. So, yes, Carl Hartman is likely going to be the guy that gets drafted in the second round of the MLB draft, and they all had outstanding years. But in the end, we went with Bubba Hagen from the Ogalle Commodores.
Congratulations to Bubba. We're here with Alan Slaughter-Zinsky of the Brevard Sports Network. The minute you said his name, I'm like, give the man the award. I'm sorry. I have to meet this individual. I know he's probably listening right now with his family. We got to get him on the show, buddy. Can you help me do that?
In a New York minute.
Hey, my first question, why do they call you Bubba? I need to know.
Yeah.
Then we'll get into why do you love baseball, PlayStation or Xbox? We'll get into all that. Why is he Bubba? But that's awesome, man. And look, congrats to all the finalists as well, because I know they all worked really hard this year. But say it one more time, who's your winner this year, Alan?
Yeah, that's William Hagen, Bubba, Big Red out of Ogalle. First third baseman pitcher. Oh, by the way, he had a 970 fielding percentage, too. He only committed three errors in the field all year. So Bubba Hagen, well-deserved, my man, well-deserved.
Wait a minute. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Was Ogalle the team that thought they were going to the semifinals but then had to play a game? Is that the team I'm thinking of?
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, I won't forget. I know they won't either. Oh,
neither will they.
Okay, so that is your softball and your baseball. Any other awards coming up, or is that it for the season?
Well, that's it for the year. We gave out the managers of the year as well. Greg Claiborne of the Rockledge Raiders was our manager of the year. Outstanding season, 23-3 this year with the Raiders. And Coach Claiborne is, I think he's just 18 wins shy of 600. And in softball, we had co-winners of the year. And how could you not take both softball teams that went to the state semifinals in the Veer Hawks, Alex Breeden, and the Bayside Bears, Bob Rahal. So congratulations to all of those managers and players. And we are done with the awards for the year, and I look forward to reading my not-so-nice emails.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll send you one. Should I send one positive one so it balances the force? Would that help you, Alan?
No, man. Look, I get it. I mean, there's a lot of times. Look, you know, I got an email from a parent, and he's right. He's justifiably right, and a lot of the things that he said in the email, I'm not going to point anything out, but I will tell you that I promise you, when we do these awards, everybody says, "Why does it take you so long? You're just almost 3 weeks to the end of the school year." Well, let me just take you through the softball process. We had the vote in the first time. I sent it back because I felt like that it came back too quickly. I felt like maybe they had voted for the winner too quickly. So I get it. She certainly deserved. I mean, you could off the top of your head, as soon as the season ended, say it was Jazzy Francis. But I wanted to make sure that the other players got a fair look in terms of what they accomplished. And, you know, as it turns out, I provided a couple extra days to those that look at the numbers, and they did, and it came back the same exact way. And I knew that it would, but I knew they looked at it because there were some things that they brought up in the second roundtable discussion that we had that they didn't bring up in the first. So I was comfortable making the announcement. We really do labor over picking these awards. And when you leave players like Aaron Saltzman off the top six from the Rockledge Raiders, you scratch your head and wonder if you're doing it right. But I think we are.
We're here with Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. Congratulations to both the winners. Let's go back. You were supposed to have the 7-on-7 football tournament with high school teams in the area, rained out or, you know, just canceled. Who was going to play in this, buddy? Let's just bring this up real quick.
Well, we had several Brevard County teams. We had Melbourne, we had Vieira, we had Merritt Island, and we had Bayside. And from out of the area, we had John Terrell, Sebastian River, and Vero B. So it's seven teams that were going to compete. And it was going to be a good one, Mark. But I think Coach Corey Broomfield, who runs this, made the right decision today. We got a lot of heavy rain last night. Look, you don't want to get a player out there in these fast 7-on-7 tournaments that turns a knee, blows an ACL out, because then coaches never forgive themselves for that. These 7-on-7 tournaments, Mark, are nothing more than timing, coordination, and speed between quarterbacks and receivers. It gives your DB some work. But in the end, if you're going to lose a player, chances are you're going to lose, and I hate this term, but you're going to lose a skill position player, a guy you're probably going to be counting on a whole lot come August. And let's face it, camp start at the end of July. That's really not that far away, so you don't want to risk sloppy field conditions or playing in the rain. And Coach Broomfield made the right decision.
I'll put you on the spot. Any tournaments coming up then for 7-on-7, if it's up in the
air? Not that I'm aware of, to be honest with you. I don't think they're going to reschedule this one, because now you've got teams like Vieira and Melbourne that are headed off to college camps where schools get to go spend a couple of days. They're going down to Kaiser and West Palm, where they'll spend 3 days down there with five or six other teams from around the state, or maybe out of state, I don't know. And what they'll do over the 3 days is they'll scrimmage against each other in pads, and then they'll, you know, the kids will have, the student athletes, I should say, will have an opportunity to be able to experience what college life is like, living in dorms, getting up, eating breakfast, hitting the fields. Really everything that they would do as a student athlete in college, they do over the course of those 2 or 3 days. And essentially what the coaches do is they tweak and work on everything prior, just before camps open. So it's a good experience for everybody, and it pays dividends. Derek Smith often tells me that it is because of these camps that he feels like his team always gets off to a quick start.
I so miss going to college, and like, you walk downstairs to the cafeteria and someone cooks for you every meal and there's variety. Oh man, I miss that so much, Alan. And then I only have to go to like 3 classes a day and I don't have to work. Oh man, take me back, Alan. I'm ready. Let's go.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm ready to go with you. I'll follow. I want to tell you a quick story. I ran into a gentleman the other night who is a super big fan of your show, super big fan of Sports Talk Radio. His name is Coach Gary out of Vieira, PA announcer. Guy's been there for years. He's amazing. And he listens to your show every day when he gets in the car, leaving school. And so, this guy is a plethora of sports knowledge, both here, because he's been around everything there is to have been around here in Brevard County. He can tell you stories from top to bottom. I know he's listening. He's an outstanding conversationalist. And I just wanted to give a big shout out to Coach Gary, who I know is listening to your show today.
Okay, we had a listener give me a recommendation for a guest we had on yesterday. Are you stepping to the plate? Do you think I need to get this guy on the show to talk about his career here in Brevard County?
There is no doubt that, matter of fact, I wouldn't go that far. I was going to say you can put him in my spot, but no, Gary, sorry, you didn't get it. I would absolutely bring Gary on, and I'd be happy to pass you his number.
I like it. I will do it. And trust me, Alan, no one will take your spot. Okay, don't worry about it. You're good to go.
Appreciate that.
We're here with Alan Sodarzinski, Brevard Sports Network. Okay, so Friday night, you and me, we go out, we get a cold one, and we're talking sports at the bar. And, you know, that's like the most basic idea of sports talk radio. In theory, it's two guys at a bar talking sports. You still get very passionate every time we talk Aaron Rodgers. Every single time you bring it up, it's a lightning rod for you. You're so passionate. So I will ask you again, is he going to play for the Packers this fall?
I don't know. I'm going to say yes, because only because we're getting this deep. But like I was reading that story about this knucklehead today, out playing golf. And, Mark, I don't know. I mean, has he even talked about this? Do we even know what his issues are concerning this? Is it that he doesn't have enough say? Is it that he wants to be the highest paid, you know, quarterback in the history? I mean, what is this guy's deal? How can this be fixed? And if it can't be fixed, will he at least allow the Green Bay Packers to move on? And as I told you Friday night, Mark, I don't think that from the Green Bay Packers perspective anyway, that any of this is really about Aaron Rodgers anymore. I think it's about Jordan Love, and I think it's about whether or not Jordan Love can play. And coming out of minicamp, if indeed he can play, then I think the Packers would be more than happy to trade him whenever, as quickly as they can get him out the door, just as much as they parted ways with Brett Favre. But for Green Bay, I just think they want to make sure that Jordan Love can play in this league. Now, I understand through many camps that they're extremely impressed with what they've seen. But, you know, once Love gets in there, and as I told you Friday night, I think that Jordan Love's going to have the same experience that Aaron Rodgers did, and that's to have sat on the bench for a year or so, hold a clipboard, get used to the speed of the league, get in there and make an immediate impact. I think Jordan Love can play in this league. So I would love to see the Packers pull the trigger on an Aaron Rodgers trade. Whether they will or not, I don't know. But I know that holdout situations, and we're seeing one come to fruition now with Le'Veon Bell, aren't we? The only guy in the history of football that doesn't like playing for Andy Reid. Holdout situations never really work out for the player.
No.
They might financially, but rarely do they when they return to the field of play.
We learned about the Aaron Rodgers story right before the NFL draft at the end of April. It's June 15th. Why isn't anyone stepped up to the plate and gotten him? That's what I don't get. I don't understand. I agree with you. It's kind of late now. Training camp will start in a month. I don't know. I think he's going to play for the Packers this fall, and maybe this is it for him. I think he stays on the Packers. Your answer today is, I don't know. It might change next Tuesday, right, with what your gut might say.
Yeah.
I understand.
I mean,
I know.
I mean, why wouldn't he? You know, I mean, look, if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, look, and the way I understand it as well, that because of the fact that Jordan Love has played well in minicamp, at least the last time I looked, the tide is turning a little bit in terms of fan support for Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron's a little weird anyway, isn't he? I mean, the guy doesn't get along with his family. And any guy that breaks up with Olivia Mum ought to have his head examined. So
you couldn't wait,
I couldn't wait to say that.
You couldn't wait. Look, he's a great, great player. He's one of the best to ever play the quarterback position. He scares the hell out of me every time I play him. But what's going on here? It's just bizarre. It's just the whole thing.
How many Super Bowls has the guy won? How many Super Bowls has the guy been to?
One. He went to one. And he beat Big Ben and the Steelers. In a good game that doesn't get remembered now. I like that game.
Well, that's as many as Joe Flacco, just saying.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. All right. Does Joe Flacco go to the Hall of Fame one year in the future?
Good God, no. He does if he buys his own ticket, but no. If he's sitting in the stands cheering on for whoever the next Raven inducted into the Hall of Fame besides him. But no, Joe Flacco is not a Hall of Famer. But I will tell you this. When you look up in the history of the National Football, if there was a Hall of Fame just for playoff sports,
yeah,
Joe Flacco would be in that one because that guy was his money and his clutch. And I'm not just talking about that particular year when the Ravens won the Super Bowl when he went out of his mind playing like Joe Montana, literally. But the guy was – if the Ravens could get to the playoffs, you always knew they stood a chance to go to the Super Bowl because you knew you would see production from the quarterback position because Joe Flacco – always played well in the playoffs. He just did. I don't know what it was about that guy. Sort of kind of like Eli Manning, I guess, you know. Manning was always superb when it came to the postseason. I mean, he had his years with the Giants too, I guess. But, you know, when you're looking at quarterbacks that really excelled in the postseason, Joe Flacco should come to mind, at least in the last 15, 20 years.
When I close my eyes and think of Joe Flacco's career, and I'm doing it right now in studio, I think when you're at Denver at Mile High, and he throws the touchdown. Was it double overtime? What was the play?
Yeah.
Or was that to tie it? The play where
that was to tie it. It was 35 seconds to go, and the Broncos, for some godforsaken nickel package reason, decided that they were going to let Jacoby Jones get free down the right sidelines. Flacco stepped up in the pocket on third down and let it go. And I'm telling you, it was minus 8 degrees that day with a wind chill. And he threw that ball about 65 yards in the air on a dime to Jones, who, oh, by the way, was notorious for dropping those passes. Jones managed to catch it, goes into the end zone, and then Justin Tucker, the rookie kicker, comes in the second overtime after a Peyton Manning interception and kicks a 43-yard field goal into the wind to win it for the Ravens.
I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers is 1-4, I think, in NFC championship games. One of them against, but we won't discuss it. And then he lost four of them. Joe Flacco, okay, I'm trying to think, okay, who did he beat? He beat the Patriots. Didn't he beat you guys when you won the Super Bowl in 2012? You beat New England, right? The one year?
Correct. That was the second consecutive year we had gone to the AFC Championship game against New England. The year before, Flacco threw a perfect strike in the end zone to Lee Evans, and he dropped the ball. And then Billy Cundiff
missed
what was the only time all season he had missed a field goal inside of 30 yards, shanked it wide left, and the Patriots went on to lose to the Giants that year. And then the only other time Flacco had taken us to the AFC Championship
I
believe was his second year against Pittsburgh.
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. And then that's the game where Troy Polamalu picked him off and ran for the touchdown to seal it.
Correct.
Sorry, I have to bring it.
Yes.
So he was 1-2 in conference championship games. Look, if you, like, seriously with Flacco, you look at the first 5 years of his career, you would go, yeah, this guy's going to the Hall of Fame one day. That's what's crazy about it. The first five.
Yeah.
That is nuts. I'm sorry we had to bring this up. You know what we should do? We should do this since it's now June and it's going to get super slow. We should do a thing. Let's break down Super Bowl MVPs and how many are actually in the Hall of Fame. Because I bet you there's not many after a while when you look at it. Because I can tell.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, you're absolutely probably right. That's like number one overall draft picks that are in the Hall of Fame. Ooh. There aren't many.
All right, if you look at NFL number one overall draft picks, like who's had the best career since like the late 90s, it's Peyton Manning and maybe another guy. That's about it when you look at the list. Maybe Eli, his brother. That's about it. Oh, we could do that game. Before I let you go, one more time, tell us who the softball and baseball players of the year are here in Brevard County.
Yeah, softball, congratulations to Jasmine Jazzy Francis. I love both of these nicknames for both of these players, by the way. Jasmine Jazzy Francis, freshman for the Melbourne Bulldogs. Very excited for her. She had an outstanding year. And in baseball, it's senior William Bubba Hagen, who is also committed to play baseball at Barry for the Buccaneers next year. So congratulations to William Bubba Hagen and Jasmine Jazzy Frantic. And by the way, Mark, I just want you to know, I just checked my text messages and Bubba's texting me. He'll call in whenever you want him, buddy.
I just want to talk video games. Can we do that?
All right.
I know. Alan, thanks for your help and have a great day. Okay, man.
Appreciate you, Mark. Take care, buddy.